Welcome to Kingdom Light Church Stellenbosch. May this life-giving word activate your faith today.
Fantastic. Welcome at church this morning. It's going to be a lovely morning, and so great that you join us this morning. And I'm just excited to minister this morning, and God gave me a word, and I want to specifically give a word to the mums today. If it's okay, if you are here and you're a dad and you're single, and that's fine. The scriptures are so amazing that no matter what, how we preach it or in what angle or what perspective we teach, it still ministers to you as a husband, as a single, no matter where you are in your life, it gives us something. So if you're sitting here and you don't, you are not a mother, or it doesn't apply. It's not applicable to you, ask God. Say, Lord, I have always sat in messages like this and said, Lord, may you make this applicable to me as well this morning. May I get one or two nuggets that that I can take for me. So 2 weeks ago, I started speaking about a topic called influence, or hashtag influence. You remember that? And I spoke about being the salt of the earth. No matter where you put salt in or on, it's got an effect. And God has called us to have an influence on people around us, on situations around us. But if you look at it, we all under the power of influence in our lives, no matter who you are and where you go. But the important thing is that we also have influence on others. Things also have influence on us. Like our cell phones has a big influence on us nowadays. No matter where you go in your life, things have influences on us. But today is Mother's Day, and I don't think there's any other group that makes a greater impact than moms. Just think about it. Mothers makes an impact. They are an influence no matter where you go. Just go to school. Dads, have you ever, moms are in it, they are helping, they're running around. The schools, I think, would not make it without moms. But there's a story about a junior high science teacher who was lecturing his class on the properties of a magnet. True story. And the next day he gave his students a quiz. And his first question to the quiz was this. He says, my name begins with an M. I have six letters and I pick things up. What am I? And half the kids in the class wrote, mother. You see, just the impact that a mom holds is enormous. It's enormous in our lives. And we can't get past that. And therefore, I want to speak about a theme called the influence of a mother. The influence of a mother today. Because mothers have influences on us. So today, I want to look at the life of a woman in the Bible. And when I almost finished prepping the sermon, Salome told me, the woman spoke about this woman that I'm going to speak about in cell group this week. So you're going to get it twice today, hopefully more nuggets. So I'm going to speak about the woman called Hannah this morning. Now, before I read the story out of 1 Samuel, I want to paint us a quick picture of where, just a bit of a backdrop of where Hannah comes from. Now, in 1 Samuel 1, we read the story about the birth of a prophet called Samuel. And Samuel was one of the greatest men between Moses and David. He was a very pivotal guy in history. He was an amazing prophet of God. We know that Samuel was the guy who anointed Saul. He was the guy who anointed David. He was the prophet. So Samuel's father was Elkanah, and his mother's name was Hannah. But Elkanah had two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. Now thank goodness Jesus drew the line in Matthew 19 that says, listen, from now on, one man will have one woman and only one wife. Because if you go through the Old Testament, every time when a man had more than one wife, he had more than enough trouble. That was just a mess. I don't know how they did it. But the Old Testament shows and proves and why it's so important, actually, to have one wife and one woman in our lives as men. So Elkanah was a godly man. And he was a godly man to such a degree that every year he took his family on a pilgrimage to the tabernacle of Shiloh, where they could sacrifice to the Lord. And that's what he did. Every year he went out and he sacrificed to the Lord, and he took his whole family with him. And that was one of the pinnacle points to show that he was a guy who trusted God. He was a godly man. Peninnah, his other wife, she had children. And on the other hand, Hannah had no children. She was childless. And this was a huge thing in that day. If a woman, and especially a Hebrew woman, did not have children, it was a massive issue in that culture. See, to have children was a sign of God's blessing. But to be childless was very shameful to a Hebrew woman. But what made it worse is that Peninnah went out, she gave it everything to shame Hannah in this process. She made fun of her, she mocked her in every way. And this, and she was so pushed to this that Hannah became a rival to her, which actually the scripture says. And what made it worse is that Peninnah hated Hannah because Elkanah, her husband, loved Hannah more than her. No matter how far and how many years Peninnah went on doing this and mocked her and make fun of Hannah, she never fought back, never once. But she took her frustration to God in prayer, which is amazing. So I want to read 1 Samuel, and after this, I want to look at 4 characteristics of a mother of influence through this story. But let's read this first. 1 Samuel 1 verse 2 to 8, it says, "And he had two wives," speaking about Elkanah, "the name of one was Hannah and the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from the city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all his sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion. For he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to Hannah, 'Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?'" So now that we understand the backstory and we see where it comes from, I want to look at 4 defining characteristics of Hannah, which is quite amazing. Number one, Hannah was a mother of influence and because she refused to become bitter. Now let's read quickly on. Verse 9 says the following. "So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forgotten your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head.'" Now it's easy to think, if you are in our context in the 21st century, and you think from our context and you think that in biblical times, they had less issues than us today. They had less stress, they were primitive, but they didn't have the technology issues than that. We have more food resources than they had that time. They probably had less stress than us, but not true. And when the Bible speaks about people, we can actually relate to them. We can relate to their lives. Although their perspectives changed from ours and were different than ours, we can actually relate to them. See, the Bible is filled with real people with real problems, real ones, just like us today. But they face them with faith just as we should. And that's why it's such an incredible examples for us to look at heroes in the Bible and say, "Lord, I can relate to that." And especially if you are a mom today, you can relate to Hannah from where she are. I don't say you are childless, but there's a woman of influence in this moment that we can relate to. Now, if they had Mother's Day in that era, what would Hannah do? Just think about it. How would Hannah go about it? She would probably think, "Well, that's unfair. Everybody could celebrate except me because I'm not a mother yet. That's ridiculous. That is just shameful. So how can you have a day like that from her perspective?" Now, maybe you resent Mother's Day and you're here today, and maybe you had your mother passed away and it's still hurting while thinking about it. Maybe you had a child and your child passed away and it's still painful. And Mother's Day is not your favorite day of the year. But there's so many perspectives on a day like this, so many. Thinking about just the mothers around us. But Hannah had unfulfilled expectations. She had an expectation for God to provide to her, and it was not fulfilled yet. She was standing before God in faith, but I can't think that every day was easy. You see, she had a dream of having a son, but yet she was barren. Lord, when is this going to happen in my life? But there was amazing potential for God to do something incredible. Yet Hannah still had the potential to become bitter. Thinking about her context, thinking about her situation, she had all the right to become bitter, but yet she didn't. Her pain was real, her hurt was real, her shame was real. Especially when you are sharing a husband with the other wife who's shaming you all the time. But she made a decision, and this was amazing. She made a decision not to be bitter, but to become better. How? By taking the issue to God through prayer. She went and fell at his feet and prayed and poured out her heart to God. Now, Paul actually wrote an encouraging piece in Ephesians to put our bitterness away, to release it, to let go of the offenses in our lives. Let's look at it. It says, Ephesians 4 verse 31, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. So it's amazing how he connects evil behavior with bitterness. See, Paul doesn't mean that you can't feel or experience hurt. He doesn't say that. We can. We just need to give it to God. We need to give our anger, our pain, our bitterness to him because he knows how to deal with it, not us, not you. You don't have to. See, God had given us power to release the pain and to release the offense. And how does he do it? Because of Jesus and what he's done on the cross. Think about it. If there were any person that had the right to be bitter, it was Jesus. Hanging on a cross, paying the penalty for humanity, while humanity was spitting at him, shouting at him, cursing him, he had all the right to become bitter. But yet he decided, I want to forgive them. You see, as the people were crucifying Jesus, as they were crucifying and shouting at him, they knew what they were doing. They were killing a man. But Jesus saw the bigger picture. He knew that hurt people will hurt people. Did you get that? Hurt people will hurt people. And if he can sort out the hurt, it will change everything. If he can change it, take it to his father could change everything. So number two, a mother of influence prays passionately. Prays passionately. Let's look at verse 12 to 18. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but the voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant to be a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. Now Hannah had some problems. I don't know about you. For a woman who went after they've prayed the whole day and they sacrificed, she sorted out her family with food and then she went back. And she cried out to the Lord. So much so. Have you ever prayed that it looks like you're drunk? I mean, that's a serious wailing before the Lord. You see, she faced things that can break many women. But yet she didn't shut it down or lashed out anything on anyone around her. She expressed her faith. She expressed her concerns and her challenges to God through prayer. She took it to the Father. Now, it's amazing if I look at this, because God often uses our problems to get our attention. He uses our problems to get us to grow. He uses our problems to bring us closer to God, because it pushes us to a place of prayer, to go and sit at the Father's feet. Now, because of a mother's faith, her diligence, and her prayers, God turned the impossible situation around. Isn't that amazing? Now, look what Jesus says about a heart of prayer. In Matthew 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. God says, ask. I want you to ask. I love it when you ask and pray and come to my throne and pour your heart out before me. I remember my grandparents praying for each and every grandchild that they had. My grandmother turned 98, and my granddad died at 99, a month before 100. And every morning and every evening they prayed for their children and for their children's children. When I got married to Salome, they called her on her birthday every year. We were married 4 months and they called Salome. And every morning they pray and every evening they pray and they know exactly what's going on. They prayed for us. Now we have parents. I have my parents. Every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, they sit up straight, they read the word aloud, and they pray for their children and they speak life over them. I remember when I dated Salome, I was there. Her mom and dad sat up every night before they went to bed and they prayed aloud. You could hear, the whole house could hear. They praying and reading their Bible. We have parents that prayed for us. And I saw the power of prayer when a parent prays and pours himself out to the Father and said, Lord, I need you. I need you. And when they come and passionately pray, things change. Things shift. It's so important for a woman, for a mother, to keep on praying and keep on trusting God. Number three, a mother of influence commits her children to the Lord. Now let's read verse 27 and 28. For this child I pray, and this is Hannah speaking, for this child I pray, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worship the Lord there. So Hannah said, Lord, if you give me this child, I'll give him back to you. I'll give him back to you. And that's what she did. Think about a mother. If you just finished nursing your child, they just started eating solids, and you packed his bag and his nice little clothes and you take him to the temple and said, there you go. I mean, that's not easy. After you prayed for so long, wailed and trusted God for so long, and you honored God and said, here you go, Father. I've got friends who went to Corsair's grade one. I don't know if some of you did. And that's tough. I remember my older sister's married to a farm boy. He's not farming anymore, but all his family is farming. And he went to the Corsair's at grade one. And I thought, me and Salome have spoken about it. How is it possible to drop your kids off at res at 7 years old? I mean, that must be hectic. And that's what Hannah did. She was so faithful to the promise that she made to God. And that's what she did. Hannah made a vow. She made a promise to the Lord. If God would give her a son, she would give him back. Now, one of the toughest things I realized when we had the twins or when we got children was that we don't own our children. We just steward over them. See, it's an amazing, amazing concept, but it's challenging for me. I said, Lord, this is my kids. But God said, I'm just giving and lending them to you. Steward over them. It's my kids. It's in his hands. And one day when we get to heaven, God will say, well done. Well done for taking care of my child. You see, in our church, we believe in baby dedication. We do. We believe we dedicate babies to the Lord. But a wake-up call for me was not, it's not just a one-time event to dedicate them and now it's fine, now they chopped and stamped and they're fine. No, every morning when they wake up, you dedicate them anew to the Father. You put your hand on them as a mom or as a dad today and said, Lord, I dedicate my child to you today. They're going to run into stuff that I'm not going to be there, but I know you are. See, every time we read the word to them, every time we pray with them, every time we bring them to church, we are committing them to the Lord. See, every time we bring them to kids' church or to youth or to wherever they get input from God, we make an investment. We need to invest in our kids. That's why I always say kids' church are one of the most important things in church. Why? Because we're investing in the next generation. How much are we doing? How much are we giving to that? See, we are committing them to God every day of our lives. You see, to dedicate our kids to the Lord means we are relying on Him to help raising our kids. We can't do everything ourselves. I don't know if you are here and you're a parent and you are a mom, because moms do way more than dads, but dads are there, but you've ran into situations and said, Lord, how am I going to do this? I have no idea. And we are just moved into the teen phases in our house. So we have more of that moments. It's like, Lord, can you just come and help? Take it over or I'm going to take them to heaven early. But see, God is amazing when He said, Lord, we commit our kids to you. We commit our children to you. And you know what? God gives favor. He gives us grace in that moment. Number four, a mother of influence invests in her children. We invest in our kids. Look at 1 Samuel 2 in the second chapter, verse 18 to 20 says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, the Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was given to the Lord. Then they would go to their own home. Now see, Hannah constantly invested. She gave her child to God and she constantly invested in the life of Samuel. Now, I can just think, all of the moms sitting here, it's like, yeah, I have invested a lot. I keep on investing, and the investment never stops. Well, sooner or later, I love the African culture, which says that as I'm investing in my children, they will go to university, and they will come back and invest in me. I love that. And I've discipled a lot of African students. Xhosa, Tswana. The Tswanas up north have a very strong culture that says, if I go to university, then it's my solid duty to go back and sort out my family. When I start to earn salary, a lot of my salary goes to my family. And what a great investment then as a parent, like as I'm investing in you, the investment turns around. You see, Hannah believed in a call of God on Samuel. She did. She knew there was a call of God on his life and she made a way for him to fulfill thy destiny. Any one of you have ever wondered or know that that's the call of God on my child, how much do we do to catapult them into that call? I think about it a lot. Like if your child is a talented musician or a talented sportsman or talented in terms of business, how much do we do to invest, get them to that purpose and that destiny? We all do. You see, I just realize how selfless parents can be. Not thinking about ourselves, but thinking how can we excel our children? Now, a woman of influence does whatever is necessary to see her child reach that destiny. I remember my mom, man, how much she did. And how much she suffered and endured. I mean, it's so incredible. I remember there was one day when my mom did something for someone like she always does. And she had four children. I was the oldest and I was grade seven, I think. And so There was oral papers by the house, a lot of them. And the guy came and he gave my mom a big chocolate, by one of that big slabs. And he said to her, here's a chocolate, and but you're only allowed to eat it yourself. You're not allowed to give it to your children. Because he knew she would not see the chocolate. And he waited. He said, I'm going to sit and wait till you open it and start eating it. I want to see only you eating it. And she opened it and she laughed. It was a laughing matter. And she ate the first block. And he was happy and he left. And as soon as he left, she opened the chocolate and she started dealing it out to all of us. And I thought, Mom, how can you do it? But that's the heart of a mother that says, I want to invest. I want to give as much as I can to you. You see, a mother of influence do whatever is necessary to be a blessing to her children. See, a mother that invests prays for her children to come to Christ. That's the most important thing. And that was one of the most important things for us as parents that said, Lord, I can't force my children to receive you because then it's fake and then it's religious. But I want to be an example to them to love you and to seek for more of you. And it was such an awesome, special moment when the kids told us when they were younger, said, we want to invite Jesus into our hearts. And then a few years after that, in grade, was it grade six, when they said, we want to be baptized. And it was such a beautiful moment because somewhere along the line, we are pointing them to their destiny. There's a beautiful scripture in Acts 16 that speaks about a mom. It says, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. So sometimes as a mother, you feel like you're alone and it's like, Lord, can you just save my children? Because there was moments where I thought my children are really unsaved. They need the Lord. But it's amazing how they say, believe on the Lord. Just believe in God for you to be saved, but also for your household to turn. Maybe some of you are sitting here and you're praying and trusting God that your household, that your family will get saved. God says, just believe, pray, and trust Him. So mums, I want to tell to the mums and the dads as well to let's keep on praying for our children. Just keep on praying for them for salvation. That's so important. It's so important for them to know that my mum and dad prays. It had such an impact on my life to know that I could hear my parents pray. I could see them reading their Bibles. I could see them seeking God. That had such an impact on my life, even till today. I know I can call my parents at 5 o'clock in the morning and they will be up praying. They will be reading. Because if I switch on my cell phone at 6 o'clock, all the messages and all the scriptures and everything will come through because my mom was busy. She was busy writing down and sending messages. I want to end today by saying to all the mums, we really honor you. You're doing a great job. Well done. See, we don't say it enough to you. We don't say enough to say, well done for just going beyond what it sometimes takes for a mum to go. And we're going to almost have communion. Can I ask you to call the kids if it's possible? I want the kids to have communion with us today. But I also, as Kristen God, want to encourage you. It's not easy to do what you do in the 21st century. It's not easy to do what a mum do in the 21st century, being driving around all over, dropping the kids, running around. Maybe your kids are out of the house, but still praying for them, still wondering, Lord, are my kids okay? Now, much of what you do may seem unseen, but there's not always a thank you that says, thank you for being a mum. Thank you for caring. Thank you for being there through thick and thin. But God sees it. God sees what you are doing. God sees He is working and He says, stay strong in what you can do. So I want us to stand this morning and I'm going to pray as the kids come in. That's fine. Let's stand up and we're going to have a moment of communion right now. So let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for our mothers. We thank you for parents. We thank you for the incredible gift that a mum is. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can bless them this morning. And as we have communion, that we can look back to what Jesus has done and what He has given to us and how much grace there is in our lives as families. And Lord, we want to commit our mothers to you again, Father. We want to speak life over them. I want to thank you, Father, for blessing us, Lord, with who they are in our lives. And as we have communion this morning, my Lord, may we just bless them and pray over them. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to our weekly sermon. For more detail, visit www.klcstellenbosch.co.za.